invite you to take your Bibles with us this morning and turn with us back to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 5. Hebrews chapter number 5 this morning. Last week, we began a detour from the book of John as the Lord showed me something here in the book of Hebrews that I thought would be a help and encouragement to each of us, and that was the thought of steps to Christian growth and how we have been commanded here in the book of Hebrews 5 and 6, to go on unto perfection, go on unto maturity, go on unto spiritual progress, spiritual growth, spiritual perfection. And just for re-emphasis' sake, you'll notice there, Hebrews chapter 5, and let's look there at verses 11 through chapter 6 and verse 3. Hebrews chapter 5 through verse 11 through chapter 6 and verse 3. The Bible tells us this: of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of the laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. And the key verse we focused on in this particular section was, of course, verse number 1 of chapter 6, where the Bible, through the writer of the book of Hebrews, encourages us, let us go on unto perfection. Let us go on unto perfection. And again, we said that word perfection means spiritual growth. It means a spiritual perfection. It means a spiritual maturity. And last week, we said that no one can escape coming into the world as a baby. Everybody that was here that was born as a baby. But we said that it would be tragic for a baby to fail to mature, for a baby to fail to progress, for a baby to fail to grow and to grow up and get out of the nursery. And we said that no matter how much parents and grandparents might love to love and cuddle and hold that baby, it's also and should be their desire that that baby grow up, that that baby enjoy a full life, that that baby enjoy a life of maturity, that baby enjoys a life of full growth. And we said that God desires the same for you and I as his children. He wants us to eventually stop being babes in Christ and go on to perfection, go on to spiritual maturity. And that's why here in chapter 6 and verse 1, he calls us and encourages us to go on unto perfection. And so last week, as we thought about, well, what are some steps to spiritual growth? Here's what we said. first of all, last week. Number one, we said the very first step to being that which God would have you to be is that of salvation. If you're ever going to start, you need to start with the right foundation. And the right foundation is to first accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you can never remember a time that you put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you cannot possibly add these other steps, you cannot have baptism, you cannot have church membership, you cannot have discipleship, you cannot have relationship until you first have that first thing settled and sure, and that is your salvation, that you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you have put your faith and your trust in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary for your sins, that you believe in his death, his burial, his resurrection, that you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that if you were to leave this church this morning and you were to step into eternity, that you would go to heaven. You need to have your salvation settled. But then after that, after we get saved, then comes baptism, the first step of obedience in following the Lord Jesus Christ after salvation is to be baptized, is to follow him in believer's baptism by immersion to represent what he has done on the inside of your heart by washing you white as snow with that shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we said last Sunday that baptism has no magical power in of itself, just like the Lord's Supper has no magical power in of itself. It cannot save. It will not save. You can go down a dry sinner and come up a wet sinner if you have not put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just being baptized, just stepping into a church does not make one a Christian. No more than stepping into a garage makes you a car, or stepping into a closet makes you a suit, or whatever metaphor you want to use. Just doing those things, they do not make you a Christian. But then after baptism is followed church membership. And by the way, all of these things happen, as we saw last week, the same day. There is no precedent for classes of discipleship or classes of this or that in order to follow and be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. You get saved, you get baptized, you join a church. That is his plan. That is his order. But then after salvation, after baptism, after becoming a member of a local New Testament Bible-believing church, then comes discipleship. Then comes the learning. Then, as we saw in Sunday school this morning, the knowledge and growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we said, of course, next comes the relationship. Building those relationships within the church, having those friends that you can fellowship with, having those friends that you allow that permission to speak things into your life that maybe you won't let anybody else speak to you. And that's what a church is. It's a relationship. The Bible tells us iron sharpens iron. And so we see here from chapter 6 and verse 1, we see this spiritual progress from salvation to baptism. Now, there's several things we want to notice and note about this spiritual progress. The first thing is this morning, number one, it is a call to spiritual progress. It is a call to spiritual progress. Notice there, if you would, chapter 6, verses 1 through 3 again. Chapter 6, verses 1 through 3 again. The Bible says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, again, leaving the basics behind, leaving, you know, what you know behind. Let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. And so we see here this morning, if we're going to make progress, we have to leave the childhood things behind, and we have to progress and go forward in spiritual growth. Chapter 6 and verse 1 literally reads, in layman's terms, having left once and for all the elementary lessons. In other words, leaving behind, you know, when you were in pre-K and kindergarten, what did they teach you? A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, N, Z. Here, what the Bible, thank you. See, I know my ABCs, and now you can too. And here we see that what Christ is saying through the writer of Hebrews is, okay, you know your ABCs now. Now it's time to leave those things behind. It's time to leave the ABCs behind. It's time to leave those early teachings of Christ behind. You don't forget them, but now you leave them behind. Learn your ABCs. Why? So that you might read words, sentences, books. In fact, you learn your ABCs to read of anything in literature that has to do with words, but you don't keep learning the basics. I mean, at 34 years old, I'm not here repeating my ABCs every morning when I wake up. I wake up and I say, okay, I got to use words today. How do I use my words? How do I spell? Oh, A, B, C. Now listen, sometimes I'm doing some work and sometimes I need to know where a certain letter comes. And I'll find myself, you know, muttering that song to myself. You know, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And, you know, for whatever reason, I need to recall that. But we see here you use the basics to go on to better things. And then you see that phrase there in verse number verse number one, that says, let us go on. Let us go on. In other words, let us be carried forward. You see, this morning it is God who enables us to progress. But we only progress, we only grow, we only mature, we only see forward momentum when we yield to God, when we receive His word and we act on it. You know, you think about a baby this morning. A baby, despite what we may think, a baby does not grow itself. A baby does not grow up all by itself. He grows as he what? As he eats, as he sleeps, as he exercises, as that baby permits his body to function. And now you think about nature. And nature as it is ordained by God, as it's ordained by the Lord. And it carries the baby along day after day, and he gradually matures into an adult. It's normal, or at least it should be. It should be normal for Christians to grow, just as it should be normal for babies to grow. But it's abnormal for them to have kind of an arrested development, kind of have an arrested growth, a stunted development. And so we see here the lesson of this first paragraph, verses 1 through 3. It's clear. And you notice the progression he has here. It's a spiritual progression. He says in verse 1, leave the doctrine of Christ. Let the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, and he starts to list it. The foundation of repentance from dead works, faith toward God, and then he goes from faith toward God, baptism, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. You see, there's a progress that the writer is using, and this will we do if God permit. And the lesson here is clear. You've laid the foundation. You have the foundation. You know your ABCs. Now move forward. Now grow. Now progress. Now mature. Let God carry you along to maturity. And so we see this morning it's a call to spiritual progress. But then number two this morning, this progress does not affect salvation. This progress does not affect salvation. Notice there, if you would, chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. The Bible says, for it is impossible For those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. And so we see here this morning that these verses, and then go back up, chapter 10. Hebrews, or go over Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And notice there, if you would, beginning of verse 26. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26, the Bible says, "For if we sin willfully after that which we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses, of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know that, for we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But, verse 32, but call to remembrance the former days, in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of affliction, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back under perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." And so we see here chapter 10 and verse and chapter 6, they have given people cause for worry and concern, mainly because these verses have been misunderstood and they've been misapplied. Here we find in chapter 6 and chapter 10, when you read it, you might think that these people that are being addressed have committed some unpardonable sin, that they can't be forgiven, that somehow it affects their salvation, that it teaches that they can lose their salvation. But that's not what it's saying at all. In fact, if you look at it and you find the writer's purpose, the writer's purpose was not to frighten those who were reading, but to assure them, to give them assurance of their salvation. You see, now you think if he wanted to frighten them, he would have named whatever sin or sins would have caused them to disgrace the Lord Jesus Christ. But he didn't do that. In fact, he avoided the word apostasy, and you instead use the phrase there to fall by the wayside. Over in Galatians, he uses the same phrase. And so we see here that he is teaching us that this spiritual maturity does not affect salvation. In other words, what he's teaching us is that, hey, if you're not progressing as maybe as much as your neighbor who's in Christ, if you're not growing as much as your neighbor in Christ, that does not mean that you're not saved. That does not mean that you're not born again. And so oftentimes we get into the trap, and I believe it's the trap of Satan, that we allow Satan to get into our minds, we allow Satan to get into our hearts, and say and point out other Christians that seem to have it all put together, that they seem to have it all figured out and all worked out, and they say, and Satan gets in our heart and our mind and says, well, if you were really a Christian, you'd be as far along as so-and-so. But we saw it in Sunday school this morning. Christian growth is a process. It's not a procedure. Listen, if everybody would grow at the same time, we wouldn't need church. If everybody could grow at the same time and mature to where they need to be at the same time, then we wouldn't need the Bible. We wouldn't need to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ, because as soon as you read all of the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, you'd be completely grown. You'd be completely mature, completely spiritually progress. But that's not what happens. Some people are just a little bit slower when it comes to Christian growth. And guess what? That's okay. Nothing's wrong with it. But here's the key. It's to not stop growing. To not stop maturing. To not stop progressing. The moment you do that is when you become spiritually stunted. But again, this does not affect our salvation. But then thirdly this morning, we see this progress results in fruitfulness. This progress results in fruitfulness. Notice there, if you would, chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. The Bible says, "For the earth, which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them, by whom it is dressed, receiveth the blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we just thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." And so we see here the writer of the book of Hebrews, he's using the illustration of a field. And that reminds us of our Lord's parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13. Also, Paul's teaching about the fire testing our works. We see here he says in simple terms that a field proves its worth by bearing fruit. And as a true believer this morning, as the believer makes spiritual progress, then you and I ought to bring forth fruit for God's glory. You notice there in chapter 6 and verse 7. Notice it again. The Bible says, "For the earth, which drinketh in the rain that cometh off upon it and bringeth forth herbs, meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth a blessing from God." We see here the crop of God's blessing is pictured. You notice what it says in verse number 9. It says, and things that accompany salvation. You see this morning, not every Christian, not every believer bears the same amount of fruit. The Bible tells us in Matthew, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. But every believer, every Christian, has the same kind of fruit as proof that they're a child of God, that they're a Christian, that they're a believer. And this is the fruit of Christian character and conduct produced by the Spirit of God as we mature in Christ. And you notice here, notice verse 10. Because here in verse number 10, the writer, he lists some of the fruit that he knew had been produced in their lives. He says there, that God is not unrighteous, that God won't forget your work. God won't forget your labor of love. God won't forget that you minister to the saints and that you do minister. We see here, because of their love, because they had worked, because of their labor for the Lord, they had ministered to the saints, they were still ministering. And these are just some of the things that accompany salvation. When you get saved, you won't be able to help but love. You won't be able to help but work. You won't be able to help labor for the Lord and minister to other people. Why? Because now you're saved. Now you want to give back. We love Him because He first loved us. And we'll want to do those things 100-fold. And give back. But we see here, now he was still concerned lest they rest on their achievements. And see, that's what we do sometimes. The Lord blesses. We've done some things for the Lord. And then we just sit back and we rest. That's where churches get in trouble, by the way. We remember the past. We remember how God blessed in the past. And we rest on the laurels of the past instead of saying, okay, Lord, you did it in the past, then you can do it in the present. You can do it right here where we are today. But so often, churches and Christians, we become stagnant and we become stunted and spiritually we begin to die because we start to rest on our laurels. We start to rest on those things that were in the past. No, listen, the Lord, He's called us to press on. He's called us to spiritual maturity. He's called us to spiritual progression. He's called us to keep on keeping on. He's called us. It's in the New Testament there in the Gospels. It talks about when you go 1 mile, how you ought to try and go 2. You ought to try and be that second mile Christian. Not just settle and be content for the first mile. Press on to full maturity. Enjoy God's rich inheritance. And then fourthly and finally this morning, we see that this progress demands diligent effort. This progress demands diligent effort. Notice there, if you would, verses 11 and 12. The Bible says, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful for followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Now, while we fully admit this morning that it is God who carries us along to maturity, it is also true that as Christians, as believers, you and I must do our part. Listen, the Bible here tells us we must not be lazy. We must not be slothful. That's the same word. Go back there, Hebrews chapter 5. In verse number 11, the Bible says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing." That word slothful is the same word as that word dull in Hebrews 5:11. We're not to be lazy. We're not to be slothful. But we are to apply ourselves to the spiritual resources God has given us. And He has given us all the spiritual resources we need. He's given us our Bible. He's given us a church. He's given us the family of God. He's given us our prayer life and everything we could possibly need. He has given it to us, but we have to avail ourselves to it. We should exercise both faith and patience to claim those promises for ourselves. It's kind of like this morning, Caleb and Joshua, there in the New Testament or the Old Testament. We must believe God's promise and want to go in and claim the land. Now you think of the illustration of the farm earlier there in chapter 6. The admonition to be diligent always reminds us of Solomon's warning. Go there if you would. Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24 this morning. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 through 34. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 through 34. The Bible says, "I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man." And so we see here, that if we're going to grow spiritually, we need to be diligent about it. We're not just going to grow by osmosis. We need to read our Bible. We need to pray. We need to be in church. There will be days you don't feel like it. Do it anyway. There'll be days you don't feel like coming to church. Come anyway. There'll be days you don't feel like praying. Pray anyway. I just read an article yesterday. There was a man that he started collecting pennies. And he just went and he cashed them in. And he said the reason he started, he said every time he'd find a penny, it was a reminder to him to pray that day. And he said that the days he forgot to pray would be, it seemed like, the day that he'd find a penny. And over the course of the last, it's either 15 years, he's collected over 500,000 pennies. 15 of those water jugs out there. And so he finally went and he cashed them in, and it all added up to about $5,000, a little over $5,000. But he did it as a reminder to pray. You know, some days you don't feel like praying, pray anyway. Get something in your life that will remind you to pray, that will remind you to read your Bible. Listen, with your smartphone now, you have the Bible right there on your phone. You have the Bible right there in the palm of your hand. There's no excuse that you shouldn't read at least one verse a day. One verse. YouVersion, the verse of the day. Read it. Apply it. You have your daily devotions, your Baptist bread. Read it. But you got to be diligent about it, because, you know, we see here, we're not diligent, it falls by the wayside. It falls away. This progress demands diligent effort. And so we see here the call to spiritual perfection. The call to spiritual maturity. Let us go on unto perfection. This morning, are you growing? Are you progressing? Are you going on to spiritual maturity and spiritual perfection? It's my prayer that you are. But that's the Lord's prayer. That you're growing, that you're going, that you're being what the Lord would have you to be. Let us go on unto perfection. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning.